Our scripture today comes from 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Winning and losing. It's all that seems to matter in this world. And yet, we already know which player has won the most Super Bowls, right? Who's the player that's won the most Super Bowls? Tom Brady. We got seven of them. More than any team in the NFL. He also has two failed marriages. Because he has an obsession with winning that is almost unmatched. See, I can relate to that, not because I won anything, but I have been told many times, you know, you're one of the most competitive people I have ever met. And if you think I'm competitive now, you should have met me back in the day. I tried to compete at everything. I am the oldest of four. I tried to beat my brothers and sisters at everything. Let your brothers and sisters win. No. When I learned to drive, to me it was a constant contest, and one of the hardest things for me was to pull off the road and get gas because all those cars I passed would get ahead of me again. And I'd have to pass them a second time. I made everything in this world a battle, a contest, something to be won or lost. Everything had to be in a win and loss column. The irony is God made me one of the smallest kids in school from second grade to about 10th grade. I don't remember when the growth spurt happened, but right about there. And I lost at almost everything. I was the last kid chosen on the playground. I lost all the sports games. And I remember clearly we had a Boy Scout field day. And for some reason, they chose as an event the 300-yard dash. And I lined up and I took off and everybody went ahead of me. But they were all used to running the 100-yard dash. And there were still 200 yards to go after they got there. And I just kept going. And I kept passing people, passing people, passing people, passing people. And I got a third-place ribbon. And I was so happy that I finally found something I could win at. I became a runner. I have 3-4 boxes of medals and trophies in my basement from races that I've won. And I've got 3 bags of finisher medals that I could care less about because I didn't win anything for those. But what did it really win me? What I actually found out is what it won me is I've got great friends that I've been racing now for 50 years. And we laugh now because they used to beat me and then I beat them and then they beat me and then I beat them. And we sit there and we play, do you remember? And we go back to a race. And sometimes it's something like the race my son will always remember is the Montrose Frozen Blueberry Run. Why? Not because we did particularly well. We all came home with the trophy because we showed up and we did it in February in Montrose, Michigan. The temperature, I'm going to do John Forsetta. The temperature was 18 degrees at the starting line. And as they took off, they began to see the storm rolling in from the north. And as the storm came in, it began to drizzle. And then the winds began to pick up. And the drizzle began to freeze. And they kept foraging forward. It was horrible. Aching in my bones, I can still feel the cold today, but everybody who ran that race remembers it. And we all laugh about it now as we talk about what we went through. I'm glad that God took these races and turned them from medals and trophies into stories and friendships that I can hold on to. Because I think too often we hold on to the dreams of purists. You might say, who is that? I'm so glad you asked, because I'm a history geek. And Pyrrhus was the king of Epirus, which was one of the countries bordering Rome. And he got so tired of the arrogance and the presence of the Roman soldiers picking on his people all the time that he went to war with them. And he kicked their butt. Pardon my French. But he just totally wiped them out. What he didn't know is that was only the first legion. And there were four legions behind it. And because he used up all his supplies and all his armor and all his weapons, he was defenseless when the next wave came and he lost everything. Today, we still have a term, history geeks like me have a term called a Pyrrhic victory. And a Pyrrhic victory is something where you win, but the win costs you so much you end up with nothing. Friends, that's what the world baits us into. It tries to convince us that if we just try hard, if we just win, we'll be happy. Well, I can give you many examples where that's not true. A guy named Boris Becker who won Wimbledon at a young age, only to realize that he always dreamt that winning Wimbledon would make him happy. He won Wimbledon and he was just as depressed as he was before. Now he's in prison in Britain for tax evasion. Before there was Tiger Woods, there was a man named David Duval. And David Duval won the British Open. He was told that if he just won a major, his life would be golden. He won the British Open. He experienced the same feeling that Boris Becker did. He says, life isn't any better. I pinned all my hopes on happiness being in this victory, and I got nothing. See, I've gone through life competing at everything. I even competed at annual conferences. I competed in classes. I took great pride in arguing and debating and proving people wrong. Guess how many friends you make by proving people wrong? Guess how many minds you change by proving people wrong? See, that's what I didn't understand. I thought if I just proved that my point was right, that they would accept the fact that I was right and they would agree with me. Doesn't work that way. See, what I came to find out is it's not what somebody believes, but why they believe it that is the key to their heart. And it's only after you understand where they're coming from and how they got there that you can actually have the discussion that goes forward. We are moving into a world that embraces the culture of death and loves relativism. Everything is relative. There are no absolute truths, except for the idea that there's no absolute truths. You ever thought about that? If there are no absolute truths, then there's at least one that there aren't any. But as you have conversations with somebody, you try to figure out why they think this is relative. When you watch the Super Bowl tonight, or if you watch the Super Bowl commercials tonight, you're going to see two commercials about Jesus from a group called He Gets Us. And it offers us an opportunity to once again have the conversation about Jesus. See, I've had this conversation so many times, it's amazing. And sometimes I have the conversation when I'm trying to avoid it, which is God just laughing at me. And people say, I just can't love a God that takes people and arbitrarily has them suffer earthquakes and famine and starvation and stuff. And I said, well, you're right. I could never follow a God like that either. And they go, oh. So what kind of God do you follow? So glad you asked. I follow a God that inspires people to do the Heifer Project, to feed people around the world. I follow a God that inspired the Red Cross to provide health and medicine around the world. I follow a God that answers prayer. When there seems to be no answer. I follow a God that gives me victory that I didn't earn. And allows me to choose to be on the winning side anytime I'm ready. As you're watching the Super Bowl today, think about the winning and the losing. How wonderful the victory will be for those that win and how devastating it'll be for those that lose. And put yourself in a position where your team or yourself was in the position of winning and losing and how that would feel. There are going to be people who are going to seek depression counseling after playing and losing in the Super Bowl. And it's a game. In the end, it's a game. I mean, it's a very important game. It's a very special game, but it's a game. And we have the opportunity to choose to join the winning side. I close with a side. My son spent almost a year in Georgia, and it happened to be after a Super Bowl that the Atlanta Falcons played in. And the Atlanta Falcons were up 28-3, and they were starting to celebrate being Super Bowl champions. All you have to do in Georgia now is casually mention 28-3. Because as they were celebrating on the sidelines, one of the defenders came over and said, "You don't understand. We might be ahead." But he pointed across the field and he says, "But that's Tom Brady. And he's like Freddy Krueger. You can't kill the guy." And Tom Brady came back and he won that game in overtime. Only overtime game in the history of the Super Bowl, just in case you're into trivia. But you see, in our case, we can choose the winning side. We know who the winning side is. We cannot lose. And it's in something so much more important and valuable than the Super Bowl. It's eternal life. I don't know where you'll be watching the Super Bowl, but as you do watch it and the Super Bowl commercials come on, look at the people around and see how they react to that. And perhaps there's a conversation ready to happen. As those commercials come on, see if someone comes into your mind. See if God puts someone on your heart that you might need to talk to. Because we have victory in Jesus. And it's not fleeting. And it's not hollow. It's eternal. Could you pray with me? Victory in Jesus. Lord, how many people would love to be able to just choose to join the winning side, knowing before the contest how it was going to turn out? And yet we have that opportunity in the most important contest there is. Please help us to be ready to point others to that victory. And as we see and as we understand, let us share the love of Jesus, that all might share in your victory.